Imagine building a state-of-the-art medical clinic. You hire some of the absolute most brilliant doctors in the world.
Right, the top tier.
Exactly. You outfit every single exam room with the best technology. And then you realize 49% of your patients are actively refusing to walk through the front door.
Almost half.
Yeah. And not because they aren't sick, you know, not because they don't need help, but simply because that front door happens to be digital.
It is a massive, massive behavioral bottleneck. I mean, to set the scene for you today, imagine the backdrop for our discussion is like a sleek digital command center.
Oh, I like that visual.
Right. Picture data streams, server racks, and medical charts, all just intersecting in real time. Because what we are really dissecting today is the friction that happens when traditional medicine violently collides with modern tech.
Well, welcome to the deep dive.
Yeah.
Whether you are, you know, actively scaling a digital health startup right now, or maybe you're just trying to decode the really complicated psychology of modern patients.
Which is very complicated, by the way.
Oh, absolutely. Or even if you are just fascinated by how rapidly our healthcare systems are digitizing, you are in the exact right place today.
We are getting right into the thick of it.
We are. We're looking at an exclusive, in-depth guide to telehealth marketing strategies. Our mission today is to decode exactly why marketing virtual healthcare is fundamentally different from traditional marketing.
It's a whole new ball game.
It really is. And we want to figure out how to conquer those unique, psychological and digital barriers that are just holding patients back.
Because the playing field is completely shifted. I mean, the old playbook simply fails to account for the new stakes.
Yeah, you can't just run the same old ads.
Exactly. Just to give you a sense of the sheer scale we are talking about here, the telehealth market is experiencing an absolute explosion.
It's everywhere now.
Right. The sources project a compound annual growth rate of 24.60%. If that trajectory holds, the market is expected to reach a staggering $1 billion by the year 2034.
Wait, over $1 trillion?
Over a trillion, yeah.
That is just mind-blowing.
Yeah.
With that kind of capital flooding the zone, you would naturally assume patients are just, you know, seamlessly adopting these platforms.
You would think so.
But you pointed out that 49% of patients are hesitating. So you're not just competing against other digital clinics for a slice of that $1 trillion pie. You're actually fighting against human nature.
That is the core challenge outlined in our guide. You aren't just selling a convenient medical service. You're asking a patient to abandon a deeply, deeply ingrained behavior.
Which is incredibly hard to do.
It is. And that behavior is heavily tied to our sense of safety. Studies consistently show that a lack of interest or outright hesitation is a primary barrier for nearly half the population.
Because they just want to see a doctor in a room.
Right. They hold a strong preference for in-person care. And it's because they have serious, totally valid concerns about the quality of care they might receive through a screen.
Okay, let's unpack this because I keep thinking about the early days of online banking.
Oh, that's a great comparison.
Right. Like
Yeah.
you had been going to a physical bank branch your whole life. You walked in, you handed your paper check to a human teller, they stamped it, you got a physical receipt, it was tangible.
You could see the vault.
Exactly. Then suddenly a bank says, "Hey, just type these numbers into a web portal and trust us, your entire life savings are perfectly safe floating in the digital ether."
Which was terrifying for people.
It was. When you marketed online banking back then, you couldn't just say, "Our bank has great checking accounts." You had to spend all your energy convincing people the infrastructure wasn't a total scam. Telehealth feels like it is in that exact same psychological phase right now.
What's fascinating here is that that captures the friction perfectly. But, you know, the hurdle isn't just about the fear of a scam. It's also about cognitive load and, well, logistical exhaustion.
What do you mean by logistical exhaustion?
Well, the source material refers to this as the path to booking. In traditional healthcare, the path is a known entity. You call the front desk, you drive to the office, you hand over your insurance card.
You've done it a million times.
Right. But in telehealth, the patient is suddenly hit with a massive wall of unknowns. Does my specific insurance cover a virtual visit? Do I need to download some proprietary app?
Oh, and the tech issues. Like, what kind of webcam do I need?
Exactly. Or what happens if my Wi-Fi suddenly drops right while the doctor is diagnosing me?
So they are like interrogating the technology and the logistics before they even get to the part where they talk about their actual medical problem.
That is the big issue. Every single unanswered logistical question acts as a direct drop-off point in the patient journey. it heavily taxes the patient's brain.
It's just too much work.
Exactly. If you do not anticipate those anxieties and instantly provide very clear answers, they will not struggle through your funnel. Telehealth is a completely new, intimidating terrain for many. They will simply close the tab and walk away.
Which naturally leads us to the very first place that anxiety is either triggered or soothed. The digital waiting room? I mean, your website.
The front door.
Right. And the guide makes a massive claim here. It says that in telehealth, your website isn't just a brochure. Your website is your clinic.
Yes. It is the physical space, essentially.
But wait, I have to push back here a little bit. A brilliant doctor is a brilliant doctor, right? If I have a torn meniscus, I care about the orthopedic surgeon's credentials. I care about their success rate.
Of course you do.
So I shouldn't care if their website has flashy animations or takes an extra 3 seconds to load. Why should medical skill be judged by web design?
Well, you would hope it wouldn't be. But human psychology simply does not compartmentalize that way, especially in a really high anxiety scenario like healthcare.
It's all tied together for the patient.
Right. Think about a physical restaurant. If you walk in and the menus are sticky, the wallpaper is peeling, and the lighting is just flickering above you.
Oh, I'm walking right back out.
Exactly. You don't stop and think, you know, I bet the chef in the back is a misunderstood culinary genius.
Yeah.
You look at the sticky menu and immediately assume the kitchen is absolutely filthy.
Ah, I see. Okay. So the patient sees a broken web link or a slow loading page, and they assume the medical care is going to be just as sloppy.
The medium is the message here. Because telehealth is an inherently digital service, patients automatically equate the quality of your technical infrastructure with the quality of your actual medical care.
Wow, that's heavy.
It is. If the site is slow, if the layout is broken on their smartphone, or if it just looks like it hasn't been updated since, like, 2014, it instantly destroys trust.
They probably think their data is going to get stolen.
Exactly. They assume the video call will fail, or worse, that their highly private medical data is not secure on your servers. And what's crucial to understand is that it isn't just the human patients making these harsh judgments.
Wait, who else is judging it?
Google. Google's algorithm essentially acts like that highly judgmental, anxious patient.
How does Google factor into the design of a medical clinic? I mean, they're a search engine.
The source guide explicitly notes that page speed, mobile performance, and site architecture are confirmed Google ranking factors. If your technical infrastructure is weak, Google just assumes your content is poor quality.
Oh, so it's a double whammy.
Exactly. It makes website performance a dual-purpose necessity. It is a critical trust signal to calm the patient, but it's also a strict technical requirement for the search engine itself.
So if the site is slow, Google won't even let the patient find the front door to begin with.
Exactly right.
Let's look at what happens when you actually fix that infrastructure, because the numbers in the first case study are almost hard to believe.
They are staggering.
A concierge telemedicine provider completely redesigned their website. Now, they did not change the doctors. They didn't lower their prices. The medicine was identical.
They just fixed the digital clinic.
Right. And as a result, they saw a 363.5% increase in website clicks.
And an 87.9% increase in search impressions, which perfectly aligns with Google actively rewarding their new technical performance.
But the conversion metric is the one that really made me stop reading. They saw a 5,066% increase in their conversion rate.
Mind-blowing.
5,000%. But the guide doesn't just say they made it prettier. What mechanically did they do to get a multiplier like that?
They systematically removed all that logistical friction we discussed earlier. They didn't just add a glossy coat of paint. They entirely restructured the user experience.
Like, how so?
They moved the answers to those burning questions.
Yeah.
You know, insurance coverage, technology requirements, step-by-step booking processes. They put them above the fold so the patient saw them instantly.
Oh, right there when the page loads.
Exactly. They added prominent trust badges. They simplified the scheduling form from a multi-page ordeal into a seamless two-step click. They essentially stopped making the patient work so hard to figure out how to become a patient.
Okay, so you build this pristine digital clinic. It is lightning fast. The booking is seamless. The trust badges are front and center. But a beautiful hospital in the middle of an empty desert doesn't help anyone.
No, it doesn't.
If patients don't know they can solve their mysterious knee pain virtually, how do you intercept them before they just give up and drive to a physical urgent care clinic?
Well, that is the fundamental search intent puzzle.
Mm.
The disconnect most marketers face here is that patients rarely go to a search engine and type in telehealth provider.
Yeah, nobody talks like that.
Right, they don't search for the delivery method, they search for their actual problem.
Right, they are typing, why does my elbow throb when it rains, not virtual orthopedic consultation via secure server.
Exactly. And effective telehealth SEO search engine optimization must intercept those highly specific, really varied intents. And it requires meeting Google's strict credibility standards for healthcare.
Which are probably pretty high.
They are exponentially higher than for a standard retail site. You have to provide content that accurately addresses the patient's immediate medical worry, establish your authority, and then seamlessly pivot to virtual care as the logical solution.
Here's where it gets really interesting, though, because we aren't just talking about traditional Google searches anymore.
Okay. Right? No, not at all.
The guide introduces a massive paradigm shift happening right now, which is GEO, or Generative Engine Optimization.
This is arguably the most critical pivot for digital health marketers today. Patients are increasingly turning to AI tools like ChatGPT, Claude, and Google's AI overviews to research their symptoms and find care.
It's totally changing the game.
It is. They are no longer just scanning a static list of blue links. They are having dynamic, multi-turn conversations with an AI about their health.
But mechanically, how does a practice optimize for that? I mean, for 20 years, the marketing playbook was relatively straightforward. You put the right keywords on a page so a search engine spider can read it, index it, and rank it.
The old way.
Right. So how on earth do you optimize for an artificial intelligence that is having an empathetic conversation with a worried patient?
Well, it requires a completely different architectural approach. A traditional search spider looks for keyword density and backlinks to match a user's query. An AI engine, however, is actually synthesizing an answer.
Synthesize, okay.
Right. It looks for comprehensive authority, clear entity relationships, and highly structured data. It literally reads your site to understand exactly who your doctors are, what specific conditions they are certified to treat, and how reputable your medical opinions are compared to, say, major institutions like the Mayo Clinic.
Oh, wow. So it's evaluating your actual expertise.
Exactly. If your website is just a thin list of keywords without deep, authoritative, structured context, the AI will just ignore you entirely when it generates its summary for the patient.
So you have to prove to the AI that you are the definitive expert, so the AI will then recommend you to the patient.
Precisely. And the reality is, the source guide points out that most telehealth providers are currently completely invisible to these AI tools.
They aren't even on the radar.
No. They haven't adapted their content structure for GEO yet. This leaves a massive window of opportunity for early movers to capture the attention of patients who are actively seeking answers through these new AI channels.
And we see that play out in the second case study. An occupational telemedicine provider decided to focus heavily on these exact SEO and GEO fundamentals.
They did the work.
They did. They mapped out the symptom intents and they structured their site for AI synthesis. The result, they grew their organic search clicks by 1,306%.
Huge.
And their ranking keywords jumped by 3,881%. That is just exponential growth just from understanding how the modern patient and the modern AI searches for care.
It is entirely about intercepting the patient at the exact moment of their anxiety with the exact answer they need, but getting found is only half the battle.
Right, they still have to book.
Exactly. Because we know that human behavior dictates a single channel is almost never enough to get a hesitant patient to actually finalize an appointment.
Let's look at the reality of that behavior. I mean, I can find the best answer on ChatGPT, click the link, see a beautiful, really fast website, and I still might not book right away.
Because you're scared.
Yeah, because it's my health. I don't just see one article and instantly hand over my entire medical history to a stranger on the internet.
Which brings us to the core thesis of conversion, which is the ecosystem of trust.
Mm.
In healthcare, trust isn't automatically granted. It is heavily taxed at every single step.
It's hard to earn.
Very hard. A single channel is not enough. A patient needs to see your authority validated in multiple contexts before their brain registers the interaction is completely safe.
Let's break those channels down because the guide is very specific about the limitations of each if you try to use them in isolation. Paid ads, for example. Pay-per-click.
Right.
Great for driving immediate traffic. You pay the money, you get to the top of the page. But ads inherently lack trust. Anyone with a marketing budget can buy an ad.
Exactly. Then you have organic search, the SEO and GEO we just covered, brilliant for discovery and answering those initial symptom queries.
But it has a flaw too.
It does. A static article cannot handle real-time objections. It cannot answer the highly specific, unique fear a patient has right before they click the book button.
Social media is the next pillar. It puts a human face to the virtual clinic. You see the doctors talking on video. You know, it builds familiarity.
It's great for awareness.
It is. But someone doom-scrolling through their feed at 11 p.m. isn't likely to stop, pull out their physical insurance card, and book a medical consultation. It builds awareness, sure, but the direct conversion rate is remarkably low.
Which is why email becomes the critical workhorse here. It nurtures the patient over time.
It keeps them in the loop.
Right. It keeps the lines of communication open for the ones who showed interest but just got distracted by life. Or it provides follow-up care pathways for existing patients.
And then you add the reviews.
Exactly. Throw in verified online reviews and medical directory listings, and together they all form a full-service telehealth marketing strategy. None of them work perfectly alone, but together they catch the patient whenever their hesitation makes them pause.
So what does this all mean for the actual people running these clinics? Imagine trying to be a full-time, dedicated medical professional. You are diagnosing patients, you're reviewing charts, you're literally running a business.
It's exhausting just thinking about it.
Right. And then between appointments, you're somehow supposed to be structuring your website data for ChatGPT, managing an ecosystem of multi-channel ads, and making sure your retargeting campaigns don't violate strict healthcare privacy laws.
Which is a whole other nightmare.
Exactly. The guide acknowledges this DIY reality is basically impossible.
It's incredibly blunt about this. When a clinical operator has to choose between treating a sick patient and updating the metadata on their website, well, the patient wins every single time.
As they absolutely should.
As they should. But the marketing ecosystem inevitably collapses, the consistency vanishes, and eventually the pipeline of new patients dries up.
To help providers figure out if they are hitting that breaking point, the guide includes a fascinating 7-question self-test.
I love this test.
It's brutal. It asks things like, do you know what your competitors are doing to attract telehealth patients online? Or do you have a clear picture of what is driving new patients to your practice right now?
And then the big one.
Yeah, the most brutal one. 6 months from now, do you have a plan for where your telehealth patient volume will actually come from?
It is a deeply revealing diagnostic tool. Yeah. If you can answer yes to 6 or 7 of those questions, your internal operations are in great shape. You just need to maintain that momentum.
But what if you score low?
If you score under 3 yes answers, you are effectively flying blind in a trillion-dollar hurricane.
Wow. And the guide strongly advises that anything under 5 means it is time to bring in specialists.
Yeah.
They actually name an agency, Skagopic Studios, noting they start around $40 an hour.
Which is an investment, sure.
But when you factor in the sheer complexity of healthcare compliance combined with those algorithmic AI shifts we talked about, outsourcing becomes a survival tactic, not just a luxury. But how do you know if that agency or even your internal team is actually succeeding?
That's the million-dollar question.
Right. Because it is so easy to get distracted by vanity metrics. A viral social media video, a huge spike in website traffic.
Vanity metrics do not keep the lights on in a clinic. The guide draws a very hard line here. If we connect this to the bigger picture, booked appointments are the ultimate metric of truth.
Not the likes or the shares.
Not traffic, not impressions, not social media likes. Only booked appointments.
Because a booked appointment means your entire ecosystem of trust actually worked.
Exactly. It means you successfully resolved the logistical anxieties, you provided a flawless digital waiting room, you intercepted their search intent, and you nurtured them until they felt safe enough to change their ingrained behavior.
It's the full journey.
Right. If you cannot track a patient's journey from their first AI symptom search all the way to a finalized booking, your strategy has a leak.
That really brings it all into focus. To recap this for you, we are looking at a booming trillion-dollar telehealth industry. But converting patients requires fighting a massive behavioral battle.
A huge battle.
You need a frictionless, fast digital clinic that proves your medical competence the absolute second it loads. You need an intent-based strategy that captures patients actively asking AI about their symptoms.
And you need the ecosystem.
Right. You need a robust, multi-channel ecosystem to build unshakable trust. Telehealth marketing is no longer just a competitive edge. It is a baseline requirement to survive. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Keep questioning the rapid changes in this digital world. Over to you for one last thought.
If patients are increasingly relying on AI tools like ChatGPT to diagnose their symptoms, and your digital presence is the only thing validating your medical authority, will we soon see a future where the AI itself acts as the true primary care gateway? And if so, will human telehealth providers be reduced to mere digital fulfillment centers, simply signing off on an algorithm's diagnosis?